Encuentro Radio es periodismo, derechos, igualdad, dignidad, mujeres, inclusión, masculinidad, arte, expresión, libertad, esperanza, cultura, ecumenismo, literatura, historia y análisis. Pero en realidad somos una gran familia. Bienvenidos y bienvenidas a Encuentro Radio. Estás escuchando Encuentro Radio. Comunícate con nosotros a través de nuestro WhatsApp 302-521-2342.
From Colombia,
the Philippines,
the United States,
Germany,
Kenya,
Austria,
we are bringing our voices together to reflect on gender and social justice.
A multicultural look in the mirror at our society.
Welcome to Mirror Voices.
Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Colombian time.
Brought to you by CEPALC and Encuentro Radio.
Can you hear me?
Good afternoon, good morning, wherever you are, and you are listeners. I'm Mariana, I am here with Phoebe and Michelle in Mirror Voices. Hello Phoebe, how are you?
I am very well, thank you Mariana, how are you?
I'm good.
Yeah?
Well, yeah, I'm tired, but I'm good.
Still got university work?
Oh yeah, so difficult, but it's the life, so yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Michelle, how are you?
Good, I'm great. Happy to be here for another episode. And today we're listening to a genre called amapiano. It is a Zulu word loosely translated to the pianos. It's a subgenre of kwaito and house music that emerged in South Africa in the mid-2010s. The genre mostly sung as one of South Africa's indigenous languages, such as Zulu, Xhosa, Sotho, Setswana, and Xitsonga. And the track that we've just listened to is Mnike by Tyler ICU.
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for the music. Actually, for all the people that is listening today, the topic for today is women's soccer.
Football, if we're going for British English. But.
Well, yeah, that's true, sorry.
No,
I learned American. But yeah, I guess it's a topic that we need to continue talking about. Mm. Obviously, this is not the first time that we talk about that, but I guess that there's a lot of people that continue believing that not a woman be in the football or soccer. So I guess it's important to continue talking about that.
And I believe it's the 25th of May is the International Day of Football, Soccer. We don't really care what you call it. It's fine.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
Whatever you want, it's okay.
We all understand each other, and that's the most important thing.
Yeah.
And so I think, yeah, it's going to be really interesting today to dive into how the world of football is still very much a man's world and the various different challenges that are facing yeah. women who play football or enjoy football or just are in any way related to the world of football. Do you like football?
I like soft football.
Okay.
I don't play.
Okay.
I'm so bad. I just like saw and screaming. Actually, I want to ask you if you saw the last Cup War, World Cup.
Mariana, this is trauma for me. Of course I did. It was England versus Spain in the final, and we lost.
Michelle, do you saw the final?
I'm not a football person.
Okay.
I just see people running around, hitting the ball, a very ball. Well, sometimes when I get into relationships, I sometimes watch soccer for like compromise, you know, to have more things to talk about in the relationship. But
yeah,
it's not really my thing.
It's okay. I understand that. Yeah, not all the people like football, but actually, I guess in this final World Cup. For the time in Colombia, oh my God, that was so difficult.
It was late because it was it late or early? Cause it was in
early. Okay. Was like 4 a.m., 3:30. But like I'm so fan of women football, so I wake up that time to saw that, and I remember the time that we won to Germany.
Mm-hmm.
I was not in my house, in my own house. So I was and screaming, but I can't scream. So I was like, oh my God. And my dad texts me like, are you saw the game? I was like, yeah, mm-hmm. come on. I want to saw it. And obviously it was like a big party because we won mm-hmm. in that time with Germany, that it's one of the strong
teams. Germany was strong, yeah.
Yeah, so I guess this one have obviously more like promotion, and obviously there's more people talking about that. But if you saw about how much they pay for the woman, until like they pay for the last male World Cup, oh my God, it's like a big difference.
Yeah, are you talking about the winners?
Yeah.
Yeah, so the men's football, which was in Qatar and Argentina won. The Argentinian team won $42 million.
Oh my God, that's so much money.
And even France, who came second, they won $30 million between them. And the winners of the Women's World Cup, Spain, the team won $4.2 million. So that's like 10% of what the men earn, which is crazy. 10%.
It's so big. And mm-hmm. actually, there's like a person that posted a video on TikTok mm-hmm. and said, but how you want the woman want the same that the men if you not saw the football?
Mm-hmm.
But how I'm going to saw if like the public and mm-hmm. television not put that?
Mm-hmm.
Because normally when in the women's soccer they play, there's no one that know about that game.
Yeah.
But if it's the man mm-hmm. that's gonna play, all Bogota have all the notice about that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And obviously, in I guess Ecuador or Costa Rica, I don't remember where, they play like before start the World Cup sub-20.
Okay.
That is gonna play here in Colombia.
Yeah.
But where appeared that? You need to saw in internet because mm-hmm. in public television no appear that. And actually my friend don't know about that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, Colombia win Brazil, that obviously here in Latin America, Brazil,
it's amazing.
It's so good.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a big problem. And obviously here we talk about a lot to support them.
Mm.
But if you know that they play here and you not go and you're trying to say all the moment that we need support, how we can do that?
Yeah, I mean, there's a survey out today, How Apt, which says in the UK, 90% of fans would want women's football to have a regular kickoff time. Because what happens is the men's football, so the Premier League is probably the biggest league or the most watched league in the world. Mm-hmm. The men's Premier League rather than the women's Super League. And on British TV, nearly every time it's at 3 p.m. or 8 p.m., it's like prime time TV for people to be able to watch. Whereas women's football is often kind of like either at random times or at times where like no one really can watch. And so this survey shows that 90% of football fans want to be able to watch women's football. But like you say, if the broadcast companies, if the people who are in charge and the people who can make it more watchable don't want to do that, and it's kind of like a self-fulfilling prophecy, because often what is said is, oh, women's football doesn't make as much money, so we don't want to use the prime slots to show women's football because we're going to lose out on money. But then it's a vicious cycle, because if you don't put it in the prime slots, then it's not going to make enough money.
True.
So it seems such a shame that it's primarily about money, and then obviously there are some misogynistic people who just say women's football is not as good.
Yeah, and I guess there's like a big part of the men continue not support the woman, because obviously we have good players, but not just men. Mm-hmm. We have women, and I guess one of the most famous players here for Colombia is Falcao, mm-hmm. García, El Tigre, and he always is supporting the girls.
Yeah,
but where's the other? Yeah. And that's continue happen. So I guess it's so difficult, like, have, like a change. Obviously, we need to continue working on that. Actually, with the last World Cup for sub-20, that was the first one, the first selection, the first national team for Colombia that got a final.
Amazing, yeah.
It was the first one.
Yeah.
And was a woman.
Yeah.
And was the woman. And the more young woman in India.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, we lost.
Oh.
It's so sad for just one goal. But I guess that for the man and for the person that was talking and, like, about the game, he started crying.
Yeah.
But you know that person, it's like the person that do bad comments about the woman in the football. So it's so difficult trying to understand that.
And it's the same in England. So, I mean, this is one of the really weird things about the United Kingdom, is that we, in most sports, England plays separately to Scotland and Wales. No one knows why, because in every other aspect, we're one country. But anyway, everyone always talks about how, oh, the last time that England won a major trophy was in 1966 when the men won the World Cup.
Yeah.
And then you go, well, in 2022, the women won the Euros. So, really, our most recent major trophy was 2 years ago, and we won against Germany, which is ironic because the last time the men won the World Cup was against Germany as well. So maybe that's what we need to win. But it just frustrates me, because it's like, well, they play for England. That was an England team, and they won a major trophy. The Euros is massive. The Euros is this year. Come on, England. For the men. And so I feel like I'm going to be really interested to see whether people talk about the fact that the women won the Euros, or whether we just focus on the fact that the men haven't won for the last 50 years.
Yeah, and here in Colombia, the men never won anything.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, actually, that happened with Chelsea football team.
Mm-hmm.
That actually, Mayra Ramirez, that it's one of the best players that we have here in Colombia, for the final, she is not going to play.
No.
That was the idea. But actually, she played and she won. But it's so sad, because we continue to know that for the woman, it's not the same pay for the men.
Yeah.
Except in USA, because the women fight for a lot of time.
And the women's USA team is incredible.
Yeah, it's one of the best national team that we have in this world. But yeah, they fight a lot. And right now, they have the same like money than the men.
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously, they're... And in other part of the world, they support the women's soccer. Here it's so difficult because not all the people are agree about the women play. And obviously in the government, the idea for Gustavo Petro that he said that the in Colombia we are going to have a league for the women. But it's so difficult because we don't have person that support that.
Yeah.
So it's so difficult trying to obviously have like the same condition that in other country they have. But obviously what with this that condition that we don't have for the women continue winning, the women continue fighting for have the same rights.
And if you want women's football to be as good as men's, you need to pay them to be able to... You need to invest in football in the same way that you invest in men's football.
Yeah. Maybe we can go with a quick short music and we are back.
Star from Focalist, which was later remixed with Davido, who's a Nigerian superstar. Kestar became a chart-popping banger in South Africa and beyond. So, in line with with what we're talking about, women in football, even though I don't know much. I'm going to talk about the challenges.
It's okay.
That still exist for women in football. I'm pretty sure when we were having the conversation earlier, we covered some of them. And I have a few, like there's a gender pay gap. I think we've talked about that, how women footballers get paid significantly less than their male counterparts. Mm-hmm. And then there's also the media coverage and visibility, which we also talked about, how when the tournament is about women's football, they don't get as much coverage in the media as compared to the men. And there's also infrastructure and facilities. Many women's teams lack access to high-quality training facilities, stadiums, and resources. And then there are also stereotypes and prejudices. Outdated stereotypes persist, portraying women's football as less exciting or skillful than men's football. These biases affect public perception and hinder growth. I admit I'm one of those people who've never watched women's football because I just assumed that it's not as exciting. And then there's also youth development and pathways. Girls often face limited opportunities to play football at a young age. Fewer youth academies and development programs exist for girls. And then there's also lack of investment and sponsorship. Mm. While progress has been made, women's football still lacks the financial backing seen in men's football. Sponsorship deals and investments are essential for sustainability. And then there's also balancing career and family. Female players often struggle to balance football careers with family, maternity leave, policies, and support systems. That is an area that needs improvement. And then there's also perceptions of physicality and style. Some critics argue that women's football is less physical or aggressive. Breaking down these perceptions is also important. And then there's also inclusion and diversity. Ensuring diversity in leadership positions, coaching staff, and administration is crucial. Representation matters. Addressing discrimination based on race,
ethnicity.
Thank you, Phoebe. And sexual orientation is essential for an inclusive sport. Like, I remember this one time, I heard that literally almost all female footballers are either gay or lesbian or whatever. But then I disagree. I don't think that is true. But that's what people see, and sometimes it affects how people feel the sport. Mm. And then there's also global disparities. While women's football is growing in some regions, disparities exist globally. Some countries lack proper infrastructure, funding, and opportunities. So despite these challenges, women's football continues to thrive due to resilience and passion of players, coaches, and fans, like the ones in the studio today talking about Europe football, Spain, and stuff. And it's like all Greek to me, but then okay, I'm going to try to watch it and also, you know, support some team.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no shame in not enjoying football. I feel like that's another thing that, like, I feel like women or girls are kind of, like, put into a corner of, like, oh, well, if you like football. You know that classic line if someone's like, oh, so you like football? Mm. Name, like, the top five players in the world.
Yeah.
And it's like,
yeah.
I can enjoy something, like, from, like you say, just watching it at home. Like, you don't have to match it at the same time. This idea of, like, oh, you have to, like all these things that are unstereotypically feminine. Like, it's okay to, like, like what you like.
Yeah.
But, like, we can't win, can we?
Yeah, I remember this one time, I literally had to Google so that whenever the conversation comes about sport, I'll be like, oh, I like Neymar. Yeah, he's my favorite.
Yeah, and I guess, yeah, that you need, just enjoy. You just not, like, you not need to show all the person that you know a lot of football, because mm-hmm. that happened with the men.
Yeah.
They're like talking a lot about football, but it's like in a way to fight mm-hmm. for who is know more about football.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And my friend asked me something about football, and I was like, yeah, I just enjoy. I just not need everything about football. Mm-hmm. I'm just enjoy, and I'm just support my girls.
Yeah. True. I mean, I think what you said about the representation of the LGBTQ plus community in mm-hmm. women's football,
yeah.
I think is a really amazing thing, because in men's football, there's a severe lack, especially yeah. at the mm-hmm. highest levels, of men who feel that they can be openly part of the LGBTQ plus community. But at the same time, I think this stereotype of like, oh, you're a woman footballer, so you must be gay, mm-hmm. is this idea of like women can't enjoy masculine things yeah. without kind of embodying this stereotype of masculinity of being like gay or like the tomboy or whatever, and it's like
yeah.
femininity isn't like that, and to be a woman is not as simple as like you like feminine things or you like masculine things.
Yeah.
If you like masculine things, you must be a tomboy and you must be gay, or like if you don't, then you're like a super girly girl. And I think it's really unfair that there's this pressure put on a lot
That's
of these
true.
Like really famous women footballers to kind of fit into these boxes of what femininity is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Well, Michelle, you have something else?
That is all.
Okay, thank you.
From you.
Yeah, thank you. Well, I'm gonna explain like a difficult situation that happened here in Colombia. We have one of the best players that is called Yoreli Rincón, and she said it's over. She said goodbye forever to the Colombian women's national team.
Oh, no.
She was, like, waiting that mm-hmm. they announced for the Colombian women's national team for the Paris 2024 Olympic Games, but that's not happened. So she put in Twitter or X, well, mm-hmm. the same, se acabó, ya no la lucho más, definitivamente no es para mí. So mm-hmm. she's talking about that. She like not have the opportunity to put the Colombian national team shirt again, because a lot of years ago she was fighting, because she said that the opportunity for the woman in the football here in Colombia is not the same for the men,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
and obviously for the person that is in the power that not like, and she for like well she not be able to play anymore with the team, I guess. She come to play with the Colombian team that it's called Atlético Nacional,
mm-hmm.
and with that we waiting that they take her again to the Colombian team, but actually that's not happened. Appear obviously the last person that's gonna play in the Olympic game, and obviously she no appear
mm-hmm.
because the person that is in the power, Jesurun, in the moment that she start fighting and show all the people that the women not have the same condition, because here in Colombia, I guess I don't remember the name of the team, but won like all the game, and the final money mm-hmm. was for the men.
Oh.
No, it was for the woman.
Oh.
And the woman was the person that they won.
Ugh.
And obviously appear other notice, like they won and they give like things for the kitchen.
Are you joking?
No, I'm not joking.
Oh my God.
Ridiculous.
Yeah. And other thing that happened, that it's for, I guess, the costume
mm-hmm.
for the play
mm-hmm.
was the last costume that the men used.
So they didn't have uniforms.
I guess depends of the team, because obviously their team like Santa Fe, like Millonarios, that mm-hmm. obviously they have like the female team and the male team, but obviously like the male team it's more known here, but obviously there's one I don't remember with who the one's game that we play that they play here in Bogota in El Campín,
mm-hmm.
and all the fans for male Santa Fe said, I don't care, we are gonna go to support the girls, because it's the same team in Santa Fe, and all the people be there supporting the girls. Mm-hmm. But obviously, not all the team have that support.
Yeah.
And obviously, they don't have, like, the enough money to support the girls. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, that's, like, the price,
yeah,
like the woman needs suffer because obviously I guess there's a lot of things that happen with the woman, because I remember the last time the money was for the men, but the game played the woman, and I remember when Colombia in the workout, all the women is gonna receive a money,
mm-hmm,
but they gave Jesurun, that is like the president of the FIFA here in Colombia, yep, and he said, like, I'm not responsible if the woman don't have the money.
Whose job is it? That's his job.
Yeah. And actually that happened also in the final World Cup, because, mm-hmm, I don't remember the name for the big president of the FIFA.
No, I can't remember either.
No. I don't remember. Well, that
whatever his name is.
It's a man.
Yeah.
That's the point. He said that he's not responsible if the president of each country in the FIFA give the money or not to the woman. That's not him problem. I guess it's something difficult because obviously there's a lot of women trying to continue fighting.
Gianni Infantino.
Thank you. That
You're
man.
Welcome. Thanks, Google.
Yeah. So, yeah, with Yoreli Rincón, the last game that she played with the Colombian women's national team was April 23 in 2018, mm-hmm, against Brazil in the Copa America. That was in Chile,
mm-hmm,
but she no have any opportunity to play with the Colombian team. Obviously, there's other people that she have that they continue playing in the Colombian women's national team, that it's Catalina Usme, that it's the best player that, mm-hmm, we have, and Daniela Montoya, but for them it's difficult to talk about the things that they saw, because if they talk, that is going to happen the same with Yoreli Rincón. So I guess that's the last notice that we have about Yoreli Rincón. I guess she's not gonna continue fighting to trying to play again, mm-hmm, because was, well, a lot of years waiting that she be, and obviously there's a lot of people like me, like, we know more about the women's football more than the men, because something like, I don't care so much, I'm like Michelle, I'm not care about women, about men's football. But yeah, we want that she come again, mm-hmm, because I guess with that woman we have, and we obviously with the other woman we have the opportunity to want something, because they're the best player that we have here. But I guess right now we not gonna saw Yoreli Rincón play in the Colombian national team again.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's really kind of sad that a lot of the conversation we've had has come back to money. Mm-hmm. But I think, really, I mean, we live in a capitalist world, whether we like it or not, and the fact that money is a sign of value, of respect.
Yeah.
You pay somebody more if you value what they do more. And the fact that people aren't paid the same, the fact that women can't access the same resources, is a sign that there isn't as much respect for women's football as there is for men. And I think it's also a message to young girls growing up. I know in England, Mary Earps, her football shirt. So Mary Earps is the goalkeeper for the England women team. She's incredible. She's amazing, and she actually won the prize for being the best sports personality of the year last year. Out of all the sports players in England, in the UK, she won. But still, Nike refused to sell her shirt originally. I think it might be on sale now, but originally, no one could buy a replica of her shirt. And again, it's not just about the money, it's not about the fact that it's tokenistic, but it's about the fact that little girls and boys can see somebody who is incredibly talented, incredibly good at what they do, and yet they're still not valued the same as their male counterpart. And I think for me, the most important message is that little girls can see, oh, I could do that too. Like, I can play football too. And it's not about, oh, I'm necessarily going to be the next Messi or the next Mary Earps or the next Jenny Hermoso or whoever, but the fact that they can get involved in a sport, be active, be fit, be involved in a community, and see themselves in someone who looks like them, who sounds like them, and not just refer to men as kind of like the blueprint of what a footballer is. So I feel like, yeah, it comes back to money a lot, but it's a sign of respect and a sign of value and about somebody's importance.
Yeah, and I guess for the notice about Yareli Rincón, like days ago, Daniela Montoya, that is the captain, I don't know how they say
captain?
That. Yeah, thank you. In national Atlético Nacional team, she's trying to talk with the directors and trying to support Yareli, but the final decision was no, she's not going to play because we like have the give new opportunity for the new generation.
Okay.
But that's not fair because obviously we have young girls that is playing so good, but we need person with experience because it's the World Cup and it's the Olympic Games, and we know we are going to fight with groups that they have the opportunity to have a good competition in their countries. Yeah. We don't have that here. Mm-hmm. And obviously, there's a lot of people talking about that when we won to Germany. And obviously, that was so big for us because, like, compared to Germany, the women's in the soccer, they're so good because they have opportunity. Mm-hmm. We don't have opportunity for the women here. So I guess this last a decision, it's a bad decision for the future in Colombian soccer. I guess that's something that it's not fair. Obviously, there's a lot of people talking about the possibility that she come back because obviously she helped a lot, but the final decision, that's not going to happen.
I mean, and it also just says if you dare to speak out, if you dare to try and, you know, fight for your rights, then you're going to be kicked off a team. And
yeah.
So it means that anyone else who feels unhappy, and I think after this song I'm going to talk about another team where there's a really terrible culture, but it just means that people feel unable to do anything, and that in whatever work, whatever job you're doing, you should always be able to speak up and say if something's wrong.
Yeah, and actually I guess she was the last woman that talked about the situation. Look right now what happened. She, I guess, is not available to play with the Colombian national team again in any situation. And it's sad, but I guess it's something that we need to continue fighting for the woman. We are going to go with a quick, short music, and we are back.
Tell us about the music.
Oh, that was Asibe Hippie. It's another hit song by South African artist Kapsa the Small, DJ Maporisa, and Ami Fako. The track was released in 2021 and has gained widespread recognition, especially for the meaning of the song. It was also featured on The Walking Dead, Season 1, Episode 6. So Asibe Happy is Zulu for let's be happy. So it's just, it's like good vibes. Let's be happy. Asibe Happy.
Okay, I feel like I'm going to bring the vibe down with what I'm about to talk about, so I'm sorry. But that was, it's a good song. I enjoyed listening to it. So as Mariana was talking about, was about the culture in women's football and how at the top and in various forms of football, there is not such a great culture, and this has come to a head in the 2023 Women's World Cup final. As we all, I think Mari and I both watched it, Michelle probably didn't watch it, but what famously happened at the end when the trophies and the medals were being presented was Luis Rubiales, who is or was among the top people in the Federation of Spanish Football, kissed the star player Jenny Hermoso on the lips. And yeah, it was pretty much like a wow moment, not wow as in a good way, and like wow as in I can't believe that just happened, because it was such a clear form of sexual assault and of non-consensual physical touch. And this has been a huge controversy in Spanish football because he has denied that it was A, non-consensual, and B, that he did anything wrong. And there's also a case where the other leaders within the Spanish Federation of Football have tried or did try to force Hermoso to say that it was consensual in order to protect Rubiales. And in January, it was a Spanish judge in one of Spain's top criminal courts has said that Luis Rubiales should stand trial over the kiss that he planted on the footballer Jenny Hermoso, because it was not consensual and it was very clearly an unexpected move, which would mean that he could face 4 years in prison. And I think this was a very clear moment, and it caused a lot of controversy around the world, not just about football, but about kind of women's consent and about what was okay, how to treat women. And he said that he was just celebrating. He said that he was friends with Jenny Hermoso, and this was a normal way of expressing his kind of happiness and his pride of the team. But I think it was just shocking that a woman at the top of her game, no pun intended, but the top of her game, who I believe scored the final goal. Was it her that scored the final goal? I think it was Jenny Hermoso who scored the goal that won Spain the World Cup. She was then assaulted in front of millions of people. And the fact that women in any position of power, of success, whatever form, we still are viewed as beings for men's sexual gratification. And this is a really interesting case because it also came out about the culture in Spanish football of bullying, of people, of the women feeling like they weren't able to express how they felt. There were threats from the Spanish team that they weren't going to play. So various players grouped together and say, we're not going to play unless the power dynamics are changed, unless the men who are in power are removed from their positions. But I think this is a real lesson in the fact that openly in front of millions of people, a man can kiss a woman without consent, and people will still somehow blame the woman, say that it was her fault, say that there was nothing wrong, saying that it was a normal thing to do. I don't know, it's just making me very angry because the fact that a woman can have so much success and still kind of be put in this really horrible position is disgusting. And Jenny Hermoso has spoken out, and she said, and I think this is a really powerful line, about the fact that she has she's had to assume the consequences of an act that I did not provoke, that I had not chosen or premeditated. And she has said that she's received threats after this happened, she's received threats for speaking out about it. So I think there's still a culture of misogyny because, again, a lot of the managers, a lot of the coaches are still men in women's football, and that's not necessarily wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't have men in these positions. Equally, there are lots of amazing women. I know that the England football team is led by, I believe her name is Sabrina Weiger, I think is her name. She's from the Netherlands, I'm pretty sure. She's amazing. I love her. But the fact that there is this like misogynistic culture, this culture of if you're going to be successful, then you have to do it in the men's way. And I think this happens in other positions of leadership as well, of a woman is expected to embody masculine or stereotypically masculine characteristics in order to be taken seriously. So I think it's a really interesting discussion in football about how we change the culture, even within women's football teams, from being a misogynistic man's culture to somewhere where women feel free to be who they are, to celebrate, and aren't scared of sexual assault in the workplace. Remember, this is their job. Mm-hmm. This is not, you know, a hobby. Even if it's a hobby, that doesn't make it okay, but this was sexual assault in the workplace.
And I guess one of the things that happened with Luis Rubiales, that he, all the moment, he said that he was in consent.
Mm-hmm.
Because when he do like an interview, he said that he asked Jenny Hermoso that he can give a kiss.
Mm-hmm.
And in the interview, he not said if she said yes or no.
Mm-hmm.
He asked and just kiss mm-hmm. Jenny Hermoso.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess one of the moments most important was when all the girls for the Spain team said that they're not going to continue playing football or soccer if Rubiales continue being the director, I guess.
Yeah, I can't remember what his position was, but he was with it in the top people.
And I guess, obviously, there's a lot of women trying to support Rubiales and say that he is not available to, like, be in a bad position to kiss Jenny Hermoso.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that was not a consent.
Mm-hmm.
So, obviously, there's, like, so difficult. And I guess the decision that they take, it's not enough.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's, like, available to be, like, in the Spain team just for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
And no more.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened with that? But he continued being a man with power.
Yeah.
So I guess, obviously, the topic about Jenny Hermoso was so difficult for a lot of women. Obviously, I guess, in one of the Colombia player that Lady Santos, I guess, she in a play, because I guess she play in one of the team in Spain.
Okay, yeah.
She, I guess she marked a goal and she show the shirt for Jenny Hermoso, trying to show the support
mm-hmm.
of the situation. But I guess it's so difficult because obviously he's a man with a lot of power.
Yeah.
And for a lot of people, not continue believing about the woman mm-hmm. when talk about an abuse.
Mm. And, I mean, we talked about earlier about Gianni Infantino, who's the FIFA president. And again, how, like, it was so clear what a boys' club this was, because they were all supporting each other. He was saying that Luis Rubiales hadn't done anything wrong and whatever. And it definitely, and he was saying we shouldn't focus on this. He's also said some very interesting things about the Men's World Cup in Qatar and the migrant rights and the various human rights abuses that happened there. But anyway, that's a different point. But I think the fact that there are so few women at the top, not just in terms of like players, but in terms of the people who direct and run these organizations, shows that, again, it's a man's world. And if you are, like, if you are a woman and you are a woman football player, if there aren't women to represent you at the highest levels, then what are you going to do? There aren't going to be rights. There aren't going to be processes in place to protect you. So I think
we need more women not just playing football, but in positions of power where the decisions are made and the rules are made and whatever, because it's so important.
And the last thing with Rubiales, that he was said that the keys that they give to Jenny Hermoso have been exactly the same as that of a kiss to one of my daughters.
That's weird.
Yeah, because among friends and family, that is very, very common. But I guess Rubiales and Jenny Hermoso not be friends, not be family, and obviously with your family and your friends, that's so strange.
And you still have to have consent. You can't go around kissing people, especially on the mouth, whether you're related to them or not. You can't go around kissing people without their consent.
I guess he's trying to explain that was a moment that be so happy because Spain won the World Cup, but that's not like...
That's not an excuse.
No.
Yeah, that's not an excuse to kiss someone that no one kiss.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's difficult. Oh, I remember that we talk about a lot of that in Malpensadas, because obviously in that moment we be like... so close to that World Cup finish, but obviously this is a topic that we can and we need to continue to talking about, because this fight for the rights in the football for the women, it's not completely.
We're nowhere near.
No. Here in Colombia, we are more far than a lot of country. Mm. And I guess, obviously, we trying to hope all that we can, but not all the person with power trying to help the woman and help us. So, yeah. Thank you so much for all the people that listen us today. The time is running out, so I guess we need to go. Thanks for all the people that listen us today. We listen the other week with other topic. Thank you, Michelle. Thank you, Phoebe.
Thank you. Next week's my final episode.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Oh, I'm going to cry.
No, don't cry.
Well,
you'll make me cry. And
not
I don't like
in
crying
life.
In
thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Bye, bye everyone.
Bring the
headlines this morning. COVID-19 has had a severe impact on the next generation. The youth are determined to continue to make history, and one song that is championing the movement is Umland.
Cool, you said, Zumland. Cool, you said, Zumland.